while, so if you'd like to welcome Pastor Rick.
It's good to be home. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, honestly, you don't look funny. I think some of you probably weren't too convincing with that. Thank you. Would you take this as well, please? Thank you. I don't want to trip up on it. All right. Well, it's, as I said, good to be home and back in a bed that fits my body. I know you understand about that. We had, a couple of weeks of holiday a little later this year because of our trips to Uganda. And so we took some of our holiday a little later. And we were in Spokane, Washington, where my mother lives. She's quite a young lady. You didn't get that, okay. She's 95, and I have a lot of siblings that live there. So it was great to catch up with my family and take her out every day. She's still sharp and loves Jesus and attends ladies' Bible studies. And she doesn't drive, for which everybody else is thankful, but... It was a great blessing and joy to be with her and just take her out and watch even how just going out made such a difference in her mentally and physically. Some opportunity as well, as you, I'm sure, would have when you visit your family to minister to them and watch God do wonderful things. My youngest brother has had serious issues with his back. He's a tile setter, so you need your back, especially if you're a tile setter. And he would be in such agony that he'd go to work, and after an hour or two, my other brother who he works with would find him slumped against the wall with tears streaming down his face. He was in such agony. But while we were there, God touched his back awesomely, and he was touching his toes and saying how much better he felt. And so it was a great time with our family. And then we flew from there about 400 miles to Portland, Oregon, to attend a pastor's conference, pastors and leaders conference. And it is held in the church, has been held in the church there for many years. And we used to attend there conferences every year, but it's been some years since we've been in attendance, and it's called MFI, or Ministers Fellowship International. So we had pastors and leaders from all over the world there, many different nations, many of whom I have known over time, and it was just a great time to catch up with them, though very limited, in that the schedule was pretty intense. The meeting started at 9 o'clock in the morning and finished about 9:30 at night, so it was a lot of sitting and listening. And we had fellowship over lunch, maybe a little bit at dinner time, and perhaps before the morning session or during the breaks. So it was a very intense time. But as I said, we hadn't been in attendance there for some years, but each year I'd prayed about it. Well, I felt to go this year, and I went, and this was before I had investigated who might be speaking. And we went along, and it was a very pivotal time, I believe, for ourselves and for this house and for many others. We went listening to hear. There are often many great speakers who have many great things to say. But in the multitude of things that you're listening to, you want to hear God's voice. And so I want us to pray right now. Because the most important thing that happens in the next few minutes is not what I'm saying, but it's what he's saying. I believe that he's going to speak to you today about your life and your situation. That's what coming to meet him is all about. It's not my program. It's his. Father, thank you that as we come before the throne of grace today, you stand there ready to speak into our hearts and lives, just as you did this past week to Marilee and myself. Thank you that you're a faithful Father and that you're not reluctant to speak and you're ready to speak and you do speak. Sometimes we don't hear, but today we open our ears to hear. And we open our ears to hear something that is from you. Lord, we don't throw it out because it's not human. But Lord, we would hear your voice. You said, my sheep hear my voice. And we collect on that promise today. And everyone said, amen. Amen. There were several good speakers. I can't give you a list of all of them because there were a number of seminar speakers. But the main speakers were, number one, Bill Johnson. How many of you heard of Bill Johnson? He doesn't live in Wheelstone. Well, quite well known around the world and what God has done. Well, he spoke several times, was both a morning and evening speaker. And I couldn't possibly begin to share with you what he said because he had so many one-liners. And, you know, he is such a profound teacher that, you know, he says one sentence and everybody says, could you say that again? Because there's so much depth in it. Well, one thing he said that stuck with me of many things was that he said, your countenance and your words reflect the world you are most conscious of. You know, we are taught to pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is the world you are most conscious of? Your countenance and your words will reflect that world. If you are so deeply entrenched in this world, then your face will tell the story and your words will tell the story. It's always something that I captured, I thought was very good. You want a scripture? The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So where's your heart? So Bill Johnson was one of the speakers. Another man named Ed Stetzer. And all these people have accolades that go on and on and on. Ed Stetzer is he's the head of the missiology department for the graduate program for Wheaton University. And so he does a lot in church planting and training churches to plant churches. And so he was there, and probably one of the things that he shared, just a little nugget, and some of these things we'll come back to, he brought out the fact that God has given us a mission called the Great Commission, because God is by nature a sender. He's a sender. And he sent his son, and he sends his sons and his daughters on a mission. And that it's only as you embrace the mission that he has sent you and us on that you find meaning, significance, and fruitfulness in life. And so he developed this theme, and it was very good, very challenging, very encouraging. Another speaker was a fellow named William McDowell. How many of you ever heard of William McDowell? He doesn't live in Wheelstone either. He actually pastors a great church that's in what is referred to as revival in Orlando, Florida, Deeper Fellowship Church in Orlando. It's a lot of amazing things are going on there. Probably William McDowell is most well known for his music, his worship, his singing. And he was not only asked to sing, and he did, and he did, but he also spoke. And in fact, after he spoke, Bill Johnson got up and said, you know, after he spoke, I felt like I got saved all over again. He was very good. And so I'll share a little bit of what William shared. Also, a couple other speakers, Jenny Smith. You might not have ever heard of Jenny Smith. Jenny Smith was married to Wendell Smith. They pastored a great church in Seattle. They had six multi-site campus church. And then her husband passed away. Her son took the church there in Seattle. But he also went to Los Angeles and started a Bible study. He started a Bible study in Beverly Hills. Kind of an unusual place, you would think, to start a Bible study. But it wasn't long until in one of the local hotels there he had 1,000 people. And so his mother came, and his mother, Jenny, you know, she's a straight talker. She said, son, this is not a Bible study. This is a church. You need to do something with this. And so it's become a church. There are lots of people, if I said their names, you would know them because they are a part of that church. Reflective of individuals. Don't let that frighten you. Reflective of individuals in that community. So she was a speaker, and as well as her son, Judah Smith, who is now very globally known as a speaker. So he spoke as well. But we went there listening to hear a word from the Lord. I think that's the most important thing. And I want to give you the verse of Scripture that was what I think the key verse of many verses that came out. Why do I think it was the key verse? Because it seems that without collaborating with each other, almost all the speakers came back to this passage. They all hit this same nail. And so, you know, if you have any spiritual hearing at all, you'd say, yes, God is communicating a very important and significant message to us. And, you know, I go there and I take off all my hats and I just sit there as one of God's kids. And I just say, Dad, speak to me. If you want to address all those other hats I wear, that's fine. But I just like to, you know, just to speak to this boy. This boy here. Because I think that's important for my own health and everybody else. So I want to give you this verse of Scripture, Isaiah 43 and verse 18 and 19. Sure, perhaps familiar to you, but I want to read it. And then we'll take it from there, because this is the word of the Lord to us. It's the word of the Lord to you. And it's the word of the Lord to this house. And you'll hear as we go. Number 18, Isaiah 43. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. So often God's people are entrenched in yesterday. And yesterday can be a lot of days previous or literally yesterday. Yesterday has finished. There comes a point in your walk where you have to say, yesterday is past. I can't fix yesterday. I can't fix it. I can't fix yesterday. But I can have a different perspective about yesterday. And I will not ever have the right perspective of yesterday unless I am prepared to let go of it and embrace something new. It is, forget the former things, do not dwell in the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Everybody say a new thing.
New thing.
I thought it was interesting. Nobody knew what I was going to share today. The last song we sang was what? Do you remember the last song we sang this morning? And was there anybody here? Are you awake? Turn to your neighbor and say, wake up. It's a new season. I didn't select that. It's a new season. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. So each speaker kind of built on this particular notion. They didn't all read this verse, but what they had prepared all came back to this thought. This simple thought that it, from this day on, it's a new day. And, you know, I thought it was good. William McDowell brought out about delay. He's talking about delay. And he said that kind of how in their situation, he says, you don't always understand delay. So he says, I started kind of researching delay. Because he said, if you love God and walk with God, and you have a Bible and you read your Bible, you collect some verses, you have some promises. And so you hold these promises, and these promises are in this state of tension in your life because you have the promise and yet you aren't necessarily seeing the manifestation of that promise, but you're still carrying the promise. And so you have this period that's called delay between possessing the promise and seeing its manifestation. So he says, I started researching this whole idea of delay and how does delay come? And he said, well, delay comes by satanic opposition. You know, the whole story of Daniel and the Michael and the archangel and so on. It comes by injustice. Sometimes delay is caused by injustice. And sometimes delay is allowed by God to work on our character. And let's look at a few verses of Scripture. Some of these were actually read. So they kind of gives us a handle on delay, and it's that's so important because if you don't handle delay, delay will handle you. It will mess you up. And so there are some people today who are not walking with Christ because the test of delay, they didn't pass. And so it's vital to comprehend what's going on with delay, especially since we're going to try to set behind us the past and embrace something new. We have to understand this thing of delay. James 1 and verse 3 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. The testing of your faith. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So God allows us to be tested in our faith, and that's part of this thing of delay, is that you have a promise, you haven't seen it manifested, so you still hang on to the promise. We live in a world where, you know, we like to have everything on an app. Touch the app and boom, it's there in your face. We are in trouble, a world of hurt, if there is no signal. We think the Christian life should be an app. I'm sure someone will try to design it. But as somebody brought out, what would you be like if everything you asked for you immediately got, just like that? You'd be the most proud, egotistical, whatever you could possibly imagine. So what is God's purpose in delay? Well, one of the things he tells us here, it develops perseverance so that we can become mature and complete. So sometimes there is a period of time between subscribing, adhering, and embracing a promise and the manifestation of it. And it is in that process of time where God works on our inner life so that when that thing happens, we're ready to handle it. If God said, okay, I'm going to give you 200 million pounds, you say, okay, I'll have it today. Well, we already know from obvious history, most people who get huge sums of money don't end well. They don't have the character to handle it. Romans chapter 5. I need to change this for some reason. Romans chapter 5. And verse 3 says, we also rejoice in our sufferings. Oh. Does the Bible actually say that? Turn to your room and say, that means I must be rejoicing. Those things seem opposite, don't they? Rejoicing and suffering. You know, if somebody comes and says, I just lost my job. Oh, that's wonderful. Let's just praise God. You know, I just discovered I had a 1,000-pound bill I didn't know. Oh, hallelujah! But that's exactly what you heard here a moment ago on this platform. Somebody praising God in the storm. We rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance. There's that word again. Perseverance produces character. Turn to your neighbor and say, you need more character. Or you're going to become a character. And character, hope. And hope does not disappoint us. Hope doesn't disappoint us. Let's look at... all right, let's go down to verse 6. You see, at just the right time. Everybody say, just the right time. God allows us to have this period of delay because there's coming a point that is just at the right time. You know, and I'll come back to this aspect a bit more because it relates to us and this building. But I went to these meetings, and as I'm preparing, and we're in Spokane prior to that, and I'm praying and sometimes being awake with jet lag and so on. And I've all my own thoughts going through my head about the promises, and, you know, kind of at when you go through delay, you kind of retrace your steps. Did I miss something? Did I not really hear the Lord? You know, what's going on here? So I'm kind of going back through that because I've learned over the years that whenever there's delay and you are retracing your steps, you go back to the Word of the Lord. That's your anchor point. That's the basis of your faith and your ability to go forward. That's what sustains you through all the days that seem opposite and contrary. And so I'm kind of, you know, looking at this and, you know, kind of going through even our situation where we were told we had to get out of the building, and then you know, we were going after a building, and we found the building, and then they said, well, you know, you don't have to get out of this building, and you can't get in that building. And so, you know, this all this sort of craziness, and it's kind of interesting, and I'll come back to this. William McDowell, you know, their church mushroom, they can't stay in their building. In fact, he wouldn't tell us even how many people are gathering because he didn't want any visits from city officials. but he says, here's our contradiction. So this word about a new day, a new season, was hugely significant to him. He said, we have all the money we need for new facilities. We just can't find a property. He said, most people are in the other situation. They desperately need a property, but they don't have the... So, delay. And he was talking about this whole thing of delay. And he brought out that every roadblock is something God is using to enable me to handle the blessing. You know, if it's too easy, it's so easy for you to take the credit for it. We did X, Y, Z, that happened. Aren't we great? But when you succeed after an extended period of persevering, you say, I know that I know that I know. I'm only in this place today because God got me here. Because God knows I was tempted to let go of it. So, God has prepared every blessing and every enablement for my success and the fulfillment of my assignment already in Christ. And it is my faith that reaches into the realm of heaven and into the realm of provision, into the realm of accomplishment, and secures the blessing, the provision, and the enablement that I require. 2 Corinthians 1:20 in the New Living Translation says this, for all of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. All of God's promises have been fulfilled in Christ. You know, when Jesus said, it is finished, those were his last words before he ascended to the Father. He said, it is finished. What does he mean? He said, everything that was necessary for me to do to make every provision for every person for salvation and all their assignment, all that's all done. So all the promises are just mini packages, M-I-N-I, small packages of grace, of favor, of goodness, of health, of deliverance, of provision that was finished, fulfilled through Christ's redemptive work. So God isn't going to do any more for you. He requires you and I to believe that he has done it, just as we heard Angel testify. She said, I am healed. Healing was paid for, finished. He's not going to take any more stripes. He's not going to take any more stripes. That's finished. It's our faith that secures the promises of God. Frank DiMaggio said from Habakkuk, or Haggai rather, 2:18, that from this day on, which is what it says in Haggai 2:18, from this day on, God says, I will bless you. So he said, I want you to mark it from today, the 8th of October, 2019. He said, if you're here in this conference today, this is the word of the Lord to you. From this day on, I will bless you. Forget the past. I'm doing a new thing. From this day on, I will bless you. So I receive that. Right? Okay, I've got a lot of promises. I'm thanking the Lord that it's a brand new day. There's a release of grace and breakthrough from this day. And then Jenny got up and spoke. Jenny Smith. And she didn't ask me what she should preach on. But I felt that this was not an accident. She got up and she started talking about how she and her husband got started in the ministry and how they came originally to the church where I came from after serving there, Pastor Iverson, for 20 years. They were sent out to pioneer a church in Seattle. And they got started, they gathered people, and they met in a... kind of a what they call a strip mall. It's a series of buildings on a road where they have a number of shops. And so they rented one of these shop buildings, and they filled that building up with people. I don't know how many people. I can't imagine it being even half of the number that can be seated here. And they filled that up, and then notice what happened. One day the owner came and said, "We're going to totally renovate this whole area. You have to get out." This sounds familiar. "We're going to tear this down and build something different. You have to get out." So I'm listening. "From this day on, I'm going to bless you." So he said, "You have 6 weeks to find another place to meet." Not 6 months, 6 weeks. So she said, "We heard there was a building available." Now you might listen to the story and think this man and his wife were crazy. But this is the story. They heard that the church that was the largest church building in the northwestern part of the United States was going to be sold. They had had several thousand in this building, but for various reasons it had dwindled to a handful. So she and her husband and their trustees went to see the people that owned the building, the pastor and the trustees that owned this building. And she explained it. She said, "The particular religious group was not some people that ordinarily would be open to Pentecostals." That's as much as I can say. So they kind of went there, you know, hat in hand, thinking, well, okay. So they went anyway, and so they sat down, and they said, "You know, we would like to buy your building." And the pastor started to weep. Said, "Oh, gosh, I guess we've really messed up." But he said to the other trustees, he said, "This is that church." Whoa. Well, the backstory is her husband had felt that he should always reach out to the other churches in the community, and so he'd started having them come and preach at his church, and he told the congregation that we're going to take an offering, and whatever comes in for that particular night of ministry, we're going to give him the offering. That pastor had come, and he had spoken, and strangely enough, that small congregation had, for whatever reason, had given him a check for $10,000. And she said, referring to her husband, who's gone on to be with the Lord now, she said, you could think, well, you know, we could give him half of that, or whatever. But that's not the way my husband was. He said, if we're going to give him whatever comes in, we're going to give him. And so they gave him $10,000. Small church. One offering. And so the pastor who's weeping now says, "This is that church. This is that little church. Remember I came back and I told you about the little church that had so blessed us?" So the trustee said, "Okay. What do you want? We'll do everything we can to get you into this building." And so they said, "Well, what we'd like to do is we'd like to make an offer, and while we're coming up with the down payment Perhaps if we could meet, yeah, you can come in and, you know, we'll move our meeting to whatever time and you can have it on Sunday morning at such and such a time and until, you know, you get the down payment and so on. So they said, okay. They said, all right, so what are you going to offer? So the trustee said, well, we're going to offer $8 million. Jenny says, we said $8 million. We didn't have any money. But she says, what difference does it make if you say $8 million, $10 million, $12 million? If you don't have any money, you just give a figure. You just give a figure. That's why the Bible says you walk by faith. I mean, this is a big building. Really nice building. Huge building. So they said, okay, fine. We accept your offer. So they go away. I think, right, yeah, okay. We just agreed to pay $8 million. Yeah, all right, let's take the first hurdle. The down payment is $3 million. We don't have $3 million. Well, they have 6 months to come up with the down payment. So they're carrying on and praying and seeking the Lord and fasting and just seeking the Lord. And Wendell goes somewhere else in America to preach. And they give him an honorarium. And then the pastor says, there was somebody in the church who gave a special offering for the church there in Seattle, not the building that they were made an offering. He just, you know, for your church there, you have the little ugly building that you're in. He just gave a special offering, and he just handed him an envelope. Wendell said, thank you. He's thinking, okay, it's probably $500, and, you know, praise God. You know, every little bit helps, you know, like the gospel of Tesco. And so when the guy goes out to the car park, Wendell opens the letter or the envelope. There's a check for $1 million in it. He runs back out to the car park. Hey, maybe I could take you to lunch. So they had a million. But as you know, a million is not 3 million. So, whoa. But you can imagine now a small group of people who have set themselves for a faith venture, now as they've stepped out and put their trust in God, and $1 million has come. What happens to you? Hello? You see, God allows delay because he's preparing something a lot bigger, better, and brighter for us. And he wants us to be able to handle it. So they got a million, but they don't have three. They don't have eight yet. But they have it, but they don't have it. They have the promise, but manifestation. So they go into the building. They start having their services there. Jenny looks around and she says, okay, we need to redo the chairs. The chairs just, oh. So she says, you know. And so she says, I got a group of women and we started to redo the chairs. And they said, my husband came and said, we have to have those chairs redone by Sunday because you need to sit in them. So she said, I got my crew there and we were, and she, I had never reupholstered chairs. But she said, we started. And so we were doing it. While we were doing it, a man came in who was from that church and he saw what they're doing. He said, what are you guys doing? So they said, he said, wow, that's wonderful. I'll help you. And so he gave them a check for $500,000. She said, I'll reupholster anybody's chair here for $500,000. So they got $500,000. Well, I don't have all the details, but over the next few months, they collected the other $1.5 million that they needed, and they bought that building. Now, the story's not finished. Over the 13 years, She and her husband pastored there. God brought into their hands over $100 million worth of property. Over $100 million. That $100 million worth of property is now being sowed into the next generation, helping Judah with his building in Los Angeles, helping their daughter and son-in-law in Las Vegas. So they knew that they had been amassing financial gain for kingdom purpose. It wasn't just so they could fly around in whatever style. It was for the purpose of the kingdom. And, you know, I'm listening to this. Interestingly enough, she said they offered $8 million. That's what they're initially asking for the building that we believe is ours. Okay. So, many other things took place, and she said, I know some of you have come to this conference, and you are needing a building. She says, I'm telling you now, God is supplying your building. And so, you know, as I'm sitting there, I'm hearing the Lord say, through all the words and the prophetic words, that God says, I've allowed some delay in New Life Bible Church. In individuals' lives, in families, and in the house itself. Because we all carry promises. We all have carried certain things in our hearts, and at times it's you've been tempted to kind of let go of it. But God has prepared us for this moment in our history. I hadn't been to this conference for years, but I decided after prayer that I should go. And when I decided that after prayer I should go, and I should hear it's a new day. It's a new season. Forget yesterday. I'm doing a new thing. I'm hearing testimonies about buildings. God's supernatural provision. All this is either an accident or I'm on time and on target and you're on time and on target. And what you've been believing is not a fantasy. It's not a fiction. It's not a hope for. It's a real promise of God. And God gave you that promise. And it was strong in your heart when you got it. And it's still there. And you're going to pick it up today and rehearse it. And you're going to say, yes, the promises of God are yes and amen. And they're not only yes and amen about yourself and your health and your finance and your family and all your ministry and your calling and all those things, but also for this house. Amen. Our journey has not been an accident. And it's not a failure. There's been delay. Because there's been a special character that God has been working in us all individually and familially and as a congregation. So God can use this house awesomely. Why would God open the nations like He has? And I haven't even told you the half of what is happening with some of the mission that we're involved with and how it's exploding and where it can possibly go, where we believe it is going to go. Why would God? Because God wants to take a group of people that you become so familiar with and use this house for awesome things. Why would God give $8 million to a group of people for a sheep shed? Why would God give us X number of million pounds for a great sheep shed? I'm going to be sharing that with you. I believe God spoke those things into my spirit as well. So you're not just somebody who comes from your address to a house, to a building on a certain day. There's divine design to your life. And you got connected with these people, even if you aren't so wonderfully excited about them all the time. This is your family, and it's a family of destiny and purpose. And what's going on in your life is not without significance. And I came back from a conference to tell you it's a new day. It's a new day. Forget yesterday. Forget yesterday's disappointments. pick up that promise again, whether it's your family. Let me just, I just feel I need to say something about family. We heard something about family already. I've been praying for my family. I got 7 siblings. One's been promoted. But, and they all got children and so on. And in particular, I've been praying for one part of my family. Very troubled and distressing to me from a human point of view. But I believe in the promises of God. Amen. And I believe that prayer is powerful and effective. I believe in the unseen realm. When you speak, spiritual arrows travel to a target to bring about change. And one person in the family that you might have looked at and said, nah, it's hopeless, has radically shifted and is now coming to services, bringing the children in prayer, looking to the Lord. I want to say this is a message to you about your family. No matter where they are, what they've done, what has happened to them, it's a new day for them. It's a new day for them. There's grace coming to your home and to your family from this moment, from this moment. You know, many things are never accomplished because they're not said. And that's why they're so important to be said. If God tells you to say something, forget what you think about it. Say it. Because when you say it, you release the word of the Lord. I want you to stand to your feet. I believe that the Lord has put in my heart some specific things He wants us to do as we continue in this season of favor and grace. And I'm going to be sharing those things with you. But I'm so excited that I went to a conference and heard the word of the Lord. From this day on, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to turn the tide. As the next verse in that scripture says, I'm making a way in the desert. A way in the desert. So wherever the desert has been, where there hasn't been the growth and the promise and the blessing in your life, I want you to look at it today and say, you know, from today, it's a brand new day. It's a brand new day. God's making a way through that. God's rescuing my children and my family, my brother, my sister, my aunt, my uncle. He's rescuing me and the promises He gave to me about a house and the promises He's given to us about the house, the sheep shed for this house. It's a new day. It's a new day. It's a new day. I want us to sing that it's a new day, it's a new season. And I want you to mark this day. You write it down somewhere in your diary or whatever you write. From this day, the 11th of October, 2019. 13th. Well, it was the 11th for me. Might still be the 11th in my head. This day. Everybody say this day.
This day.
From this day, it's a new season.
From this day, it's a new
say it again. From this day.
From this day.
It's a new season.
It's a new season.
It's a new season. You know, that's what makes the Christian life exciting. God gives you something that's humanly impossible, but you are foolish enough to say, I'm going to believe that. I'm going to believe that. And when you believe that, boom, this verse behind me becomes your inheritance.
Yes.
Becomes your inheritance. The supernatural starts to be at work. You can stop trying to figure out how it could happen, how it might happen. Oh, it might not. No, no, God said it.
Thank you.
It's a new day. It's a new day.
Hallelujah.
It's a new day. It's a new day. You know, before we sing it, I believe God just wants to drill a little bit deeper on your faith. Because the devil is such a liar.
Yes.
He wants you to focus on time. How long it's been. You know, he has all kinds of stupid questions he wants to put in your mind so you don't receive the word of the Lord. It's a spiritual battle. But you take the admonition of God's word. Forget yesterday. Yesterday is gone. The word of the Lord is enduring forever. The promises of God are not maybe, they are what? Yes and amen. So be it. Let's sing it. It's a new day, Zion. It's a new day. Fresh anointing is going my way. Power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new day. A fresh anointing is flowing my way. Season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. Okay, we're not finished. While you're still standing, I want you to listen to the prophetic word that came at the end of the conference. Just close your eyes and listen to the word of the Lord.
Louder. Hour, it would be like the days of old when the shout came from God's people and when it was lifted up on high. So when my people began to shout, the earth rang out. When my people began to shout, Jesus. The walls of Jericho fell down. Yeah. When my people began to shout, the city was shaken, says the Lord. Now I will say to you, to those that believe that this is your time, this is the season, this is the now moment to embrace what I have destined, says the Lord. I call my church to declare boldly with a shout that I am able to do exceedingly abundantly.
Complete healing. There was no scars, no blood. And God says today,
I've unraveled all the systems that have tried to bind my people and tried to deceive my people. And I've unraveled everything that has tried to entwine my people. And I'm unraveling it, says the Lord, so that my people can begin to walk again, have faith, and begin to dance again, and begin to rejoice again. But this is my hour for my army to stand up and declare, thus says the Lord, all to the earth, that I am the Lord your God, and I will come and I will rescue my bride. There's one thing he wants you to do tonight. With hands up. Hands up. And this is prophetic. Dr. Frank said it this morning. He said, believe for supernatural turnarounds. Believe for a supernatural turnaround. That word super means above everything. Above.
Yes.
Heightened to the heights. And while your hands are up, as far as your fingers are up tonight, I want you just to do one time, and we're going to let go of a shout in this place. And let hell know, let the devil know, let doubt know, let fear and unbelief know that the church is strong around the world. Hands up. We're going to turn around to count of three. And after you come all the way back around, lift up your voice and let the world know Jesus is the one, two, three. Come on, turn. Here we go.
It's a new season. It's a new season. It's a new day. A fresh anointing flowing my way. Yes, it's a season of power and authority. It's a new season coming to me. I want you to sing it to each other. I want you to look at somebody and say, it's a new season coming to me. After we sing it a few times, it's a new season coming to me. Then I want you to say it to each other. It's a new season coming to you. It's coming to you. It's a new season coming to you. It's a new season. It's a new day, a fresh anointing is flowing my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. Coming to me. It's a new season. It's a new day, fresh anointing flowing my way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to me. Now to you. It's a new season. It's a new day. Yes. Fresh anointing. It's coming your way. Coming your way. Coming your way. Love, power. Yes. And prosperity. Yes, your way. It's a new season coming to you. One more time. It's a new season. New season. It's a new day. It's a new day. Fresh anointing is flowing your way. It's a season of power and prosperity. It's a new season coming to you. Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a clap offering today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you that new season's already begun. From the moment it was declared and received, it's begun. Thank you, Lord. We'll see increasing manifestations of it, Lord, from this day. Thank you, Lord, for all the miracles that have been stored up that are now about to be released. Thank you, Lord. Your promises are yes and amen. You're a God who cannot lie. And though there's been a season of tarrying and waiting and delaying, Lord, we put our trust in you. We believe it's a brand new day for us. Thank you for provision, supernatural. Thank you for breakthrough and reconciliation, children returning to Christ, and unsaved loved ones coming to know Jesus. Thank you that the prayers of your people are powerful and effective. They're on time and on target. Thank you for your faithfulness to us. We walk in the joy and the blessing of this moment today as we go from this place. Excited, Lord, that it's a brand new day for New Life Bible Church and everybody in it, even those who couldn't be here today, it's a new day for them as well. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Hug 9 people before you leave today.